chin spread.
Direct chin spread?
Mm-hmm.
But
sure.
I looked in every gathering book. Well, I'm sorry, somebody else is here. It's just I am not seeing it anywhere.
Yeah, I remember seeing it, and I'm pretty sure it has something to do with directions, so maybe we can track it down. So I wonder if it's Michael or Kathy.
It is Michael.
Michael. All right, well, let's get Michael reading the intent, and then we can do whatever we want.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have the intent right in front of me in plain English. Sixth Master intent. To know that revolution with resolution leads to revelation. To be the spiritual revolution with an individual moment-by-moment resolution to be the action of truth.
Absolutely plain English. Yeah.
That was very plain.
Yeah.
English.
I love the way it sounds different depending on who reads it. And the inflection is a little bit different. The pauses are a little bit different. And it gives you another new way to look at it.
Exactly.
Well, it's different every time. I don't think any of us read it the same every time anyway.
Right. And then each of us has our own,
our
own kind of feeling about it and perception of it, which changes. So it's like, it's always new. It's wonderful.
It is.
Yeah.
And when I'm reading along with it, I read it new based on what I'm hearing people say as they're doing it. So.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
It's the R word.
And how, yes, and how each word is pronounced. I had a new student today who talked about his wife who pronounced Ashtabula as Tabula.
Oh, it felt like that.
That's how she pronounced it. And he said she has an extreme problem with that. And the word focus, she has a real problem with. She pronounces it focus.
Yeah, that's a real problem.
He said,
that is a big problem.
I said, yeah, it could be a very serious problem. He said, yeah, I finally got her so she could. I said, just say concentrate.
Yeah. Yeah. Focus on this.
That would not work well. Yeah, there's problems with that.
Oh my God. I think she does it to pull his leg.
I think she's from a different country.
Oh, she's from a different country.
I didn't say that, but I'm assuming that's the case.
As Tabula. Yeah, that's like when you go to California, Michael would appreciate this. When I first moved to California, I thought it was Sepulveda. And everybody knows, as soon as you say Sepulveda, you're new.
Yeah,
it's a Sepulveda. And you're like, oops. And then you laugh at the next person who says Sepulveda. Like, hey, you're new in town, aren't you? So, yeah, I think it's that same idea. Let's see. So I'm actually going to explain what I was going to talk about. Because we started today to go over what we're going to go over tonight, and I said, that makes no sense.
Yeah, it's going to interpret it.
Yes, so I'm going to preface it by saying which would have been good probably to know beforehand, but he's looking at the spiral, we call it the spiral perception wheel, but it's not, it's the... What is it, though? He just walked away.
Cycles of truth.
Cycles of truth wheel. No.
No, that's not
Fractals
it.
Of truth?
I'm here in case you're wondering where I'm at.
Dale's not in front of me anymore. Let's just put it this way. We are using the wheel where we start at the bottom in June.
The standard pathway.
The pathway of peace wheel. Thank you.
Yeah.
So your June, you're doing as this first color is your color in June. So now that I've explained that, he can talk.
I'm still wondering where I got the woolly mammoth.
I don't know. We'll come back to that.
Huh.
Try to stay focused.
I'm definitely.
Okay. And we're starting that way. We're actually starting that way. We didn't even have to, like, get into that way. We are starting from there.
Yeah. So I'm mixed up already. Now, which, where is, so we're starting with June?
The standard pathway of peace wheel. So it's, you're starting in June. So your first color, Michael, which is rose, is going to be, so he wanted you to look at the first three colors. And he, but what we didn't know at the time was he wants us to look at the first three colors and stick them on the pathway of peace wheel starting in June. So your first color, rose, is in the June red. So how does faith interact with rose is the question.
No, I still don't understand, because I'm just looking at the color wheels in my book.
Well, the look at the color wheel, and at the bottom of the color wheel is June, right? It's red.
Okay, that's June. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So just put your first color on that. Just think of your first color is with the color red. And the second color is the with the color yellow. And the third color, your third color, is with the color blue.
Right. So...
it's the pathway of peace.
I'm not to change that to my birth color, right?
No,
right.
Just do
it. Yeah, this isn't the birth wheel. It's in the gathering books, it's called the standard pathway of revelation color wheel.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
Okay.
And when we originally filled it in,
yeah.
He said to put our first color in the spoke that goes straight down towards six or faith.
Right,
yeah.
And that's rose for me, exactly.
Yep.
Okay.
That's the wheel we're looking at. And that quadrant, he's calling the quadrant of learning for this set of questions.
Oh, okay. So it's not, you're not calling the quadrant of learning January, February, March then. You're calling it red, yellow, blue.
Yes.
You're calling it the
June, July, August. Red,
yep.
Yellow, blue.
June, July, August. You're calling it June, July, August. Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
And the question still is, though, who am I and am
yeah,
I
course,
happy?
The first quadrant questions are, who am I and am I happy? And those three colors are indicative of that. They help explain what that is, what makes you happy, and who you are. I mean, it helps explain that and keep you on track of that. Those three colors do.
Right.
Because they're in the position of faith, love, and intuition. Those first three. So how can we use those colors to help us define who we are and know if we're happy or not?
That's what we're talking
about.
That's
what we're doing.
Yeah. So do you want to give them an example?
I'll give you the example of my colors. Since they are orange, rose, and pink, the orange color is the kinship color. Coming in with that color gives me that essence of having that kinship in all dimensions, knowing that I rely on that as everything seen and unseen is a teacher and shows me, and it gives me that confidence and faith to move for that, knowing full well that I can tap into anything for answers for myself and anything else. And it is what gives me the essence of who I am. And when I have that, when I use that, the happiness is really just kind of tantamount. It just goes with it. By bringing in the other two colors, because since that is the faith, that color is the faith, the next color is the rose color, and probably the biggest part of the rose color is what I was telling Becca today, and that's, it goes with, when you read the color definitions, if you go to the rose of prophecy, the part where it says, we take control of our future the moment we recognize each new learning opportunity. And as we view each opportunity in the light of our past experiences, we can take appropriate action to create the future we choose. So that is so indicative of the rose color. So anybody with any rose color, wherever it is, that is probably the biggest thing to talk about or think about, is we all have past experiences in many things. And when that comes up again, we have the opportunity to make a different choice, unless what we experienced before, we're satisfied with it. We were talking about that today, that some people keep choosing the same thing over and over. It's a very negative thing, but it's like you're used to it.
Well, we all do it to some degree. Some people do a lot more than others, but...
And we're not aware of it because we don't bring it up. We don't bring it up with ourselves much. We don't look at it from different viewpoints for ourselves, which is the beauty of the medicine wheel, because you have the ability to look at things from 12 different viewpoints. And that's why it's so workable, being able to do that. So when you have that rose color, in order to understand what your future is, you have to look at each lesson that comes along and know that it's an opportunity to be something else, to dive into it deeper than what you did before, or understand it from a different place than you did before. And then the third one is my pink color, the creativity work. And I think I do put creativity in front of the work instead of going work or creator, work creativity, because the work gives you more of the physical material realm and keeps you kind of stuck there. I like to look at it as just one phrase that doesn't have a separation to it, work create or create work. Because when I can do creative stuff inside of the work I'm doing, the happiness, because that's the cleansing part for me. When you're doing that, you can feel the cleansing going on of the emotions. You can feel the softening and you feel the happiness and the purpose, the direction, the understanding of who you are.
And you're saying that partly because your create work with it is in blue.
Exactly.
That's cleansing.
That pink color is the cleansing aspect for me. It opens that up. And then look at it as the seed and the loving. So the beginning parts, the soils, this is what you plant the seed in, is that understanding of the orange color. And then the second one, the rose, that's the love. That's the nourishment. That's the thing that gives you that comfort and feeling that, wow, it's so comforting, best way to put it. So that prophecy, that understanding lessons and things that come along, gives you that love. And then the pink color, again, is the cleansing part, is the part where the intuition comes through and fills you and moves it along. So that's
how you put it together. So if you if you use all three of your colors in the concept of what we're talking about, is the spiritual aspect of them,
yes,
you'll find yourself happy.
Yes. Yes.
That's basically the answer to that.
And you can see too, those first three, how important they are, because more of it's coming from, it's mostly coming from spirit. It's mostly the spirit part of it. So if we get caught up in the material, physical things, we're gonna miss out on what the true essence is there. We're not going to see that. We're not going to feel it as much.
So there you go. There's an example. That doesn't mean that's how you guys thought about it at all.
Yeah, that's strictly the way I saw it.
So let's talk about how you guys thought.
Well, from Del's example, my color that goes to faith is rose or prophecy. And I just had an opportunity this last couple of weeks to evaluate a job offering, and I turned it down because, I mean, Becca and I were talking about it today, and that was really the kind of, you know, tap on what my intuition was to do. But that pink color of prophecy is also in the being in the now. And that is a great lesson for me, because the faith or ability, the faith to be in the now and trust that when I'm, you know, in between jobs, that's a very strong connection. And I can see, I gave myself the opportunity to see that this job wasn't mine to do. I was able to apply that sense of prophecy to that actual job opportunity and actually evaluate and see that it wasn't mine to do at all. And I love that connection between faith and prophecy and now.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it just all, you know, all interrelates and connects. And my next color is brown, which is self-determination. So just trying to work this out now, that is the color of, you know, that goes to that idea called love. Well, you know, self-determination, I need to understand, I want to understand that more, exactly what that is, knowing, but determining self, but what self? You know, it's not, I wouldn't be satisfied if it were self in the sense of human will. It has to be, for me, a self-determination that comes from self with a capital S, which would be much more like love.
It's kind of like what we were talking about today, Michael, when you're saying this, it comes back to me about how, you know, when you turned the job down, it was because you had an awareness of your unique self.
Mm-hmm.
And love for that unique expression of who yourself, that love of who you are, and not trying to make yourself into someone that could have done that particular job. And that's what I think,
yeah,
of when I think of self-determination, is like, what's the unique expression of me, and loving it, and being grateful for this is it, and then going back to the faith of that, because this is the unique expression of who I am, I have faith that it will be expressed, as you said, it will be expressed in the now. I'll be faithful in the now to being taken care of, or however, whatever way you're using it. But I think you did self-determination when we were talking today, and that this isn't decisions you made. And I see you pulling that idea of love and devotion to yourself, unique self, the real unique self, not the one that,
yeah,
you know, the ego unique self, the real unique self, really helped you make some decisions and give you the strength, it gives you the strength to express that unique self. So that, to me, that's
right,
kind of an example of self-determination.
That's beautiful, Becca. Thank you for saying that all in that way. It elucidates it for me. And that's exactly right. And it feels so integrated. It feels so whole. I don't feel fragmented. It just feels like it all belongs together. And therefore, I can have that faith and trust.
Right.
Yeah.
And then your next color is the same one as Jet's, the gray that goes with
is
blue.
It? Oh,
yeah.
You and I, Jet. Good. So I love that because that's also, that's honoring, knowledge and honoring. And I have in my little notes, oh, I guess this is from our class in it, awareness of truth. Truth. Mm. And then that goes to my colors, blue, intuition for that. So certainly, I don't know, I'm leaning toward truth or, you know, my... what I was going to say is if I have an intuition, it's from truth. It's an intuition from truth.
Exactly.
Otherwise I wouldn't get that intuition, right?
Yeah. I was just going to ask Dale, then you were using the color blue also as clearing and clear and cleaning out, right?
Yes.
So it cleans out anything that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, now that's wonderful, too. That's just so perfect, isn't it?
It is. And I can see how your three colors go together in such a coherent way in those that season of learning.
Yeah.
And when you really stick with that as a foundation, that you really, I see, maybe it's because we talked today, but it's so clear to me how that works for you, and then that happiness would being happy would be a result of that. So it's, here's who I am.
Yeah.
And
I see it too.
Is, though, right? This is who I am, and I'm happy about it.
Yeah, you can look at it that way. Yeah.
I choose to be happy about it.
Or you come in as happy because it's who you are. It's the essence of it. You are yourself. Now, are you aware of it? You know, staying aware of it as you're learning.
Yeah.
And it's like the blue part, which softens the hard outer shell of a seed. Well, it can have a tendency to harden up, and it's that color that keeps it soft so growth can continue and move. Yeah.
Cool. Do you have questions for Michael?
No, she covered that quite well, I thought. Give me more insight on the rose color. It's always good.
Yeah. I like that thing when you said about the rose that and we all have rose somewhere, and that idea that, and we see it in so many people in different ways, but the people that relive the past over and over again, and stay in it. I think, you know, holding on to things that don't need to be held on to.
Yeah.
In all forms, you know, physical things, mental things, ideas, or things that I thought I wanted, you know, things we wanted to do, but now we look at it and say, well, that was then. I don't really want to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then just let the things that we do want to do come forward. But the past is a teacher, but it's not an anchor. I guess that's what I'm...
That's why I like that rose color of the prophecy, because
yeah.
You know, you can see why it's called prophecy. It's, well, you've experienced something.
Mm-hmm.
And now if you're aware of there's a lesson here, and if it's going, wow, this is something I've done before, if you're aware of that, what you do in that moment changes the future.
Right.
Or keeps it the same if you go, oh, I'm just going to keep doing it the same way I've always done it.
Yeah.
Then it's, you know, you already know your future. Well, then it's going to be this way again.
Yeah, I just read something, and I don't know where it was. I kind of vaguely see it in my mind, and it was a woman writing it. Maybe it'll pop into my head who it was, but she was talking about some people live 15 years as 1 year. And I'll have to figure out where I saw that. But the concept was that if you do the same thing over and over again, you've never moved to the next year. You're still just living the same year over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that made me laugh too when I read it. So I wish I could remember where I read it. But I went, oh my God, that's so true. If you don't do everything new each year or look at things anew, then you're still just living the same thing.
Yeah,
over,
same thing over and over.
Same life over and over again each year.
And each of us has have an opportunity to experience it somehow.
Yeah.
Like telling Becca, I had, you know, I have this new VA class where I'm teaching at the Veterans Administration. And so I have different people coming every single time I have a class. There's new people, and the old people who were there aren't there. So it's like a whole new experience every single time. And so I get the opportunity, which I just realized actually today, I can do this differently because I see how, well, I do this and here's what happens. Now I'm like, I don't make it so cut and dry. It's like, I'm listening differently.
Yeah.
I'm feeling differently about it. And it just, I let something occur and then I don't attach to it. And then it gives me immediate opportunity to change it. And so it's like every class is a completely new experience and I can actually see growth happening for everybody, including myself, in that it's actually a more satisfying experience.
And to me, that's faith.
Yeah.
It's faith that you will know and you will do the right thing because there's something else guiding rather than
right
the human element. Yeah.
And I think we have that opportunity in a lot of places in our life on a regular basis.
To do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's hear from Jedi.
Yeah.
Well, Del, thank you for giving the example at first because I think that's the first time, the best I've ever understood the use of actually putting the colors into the various places in the wheel. And of course, I had forgotten all about, you know, growing the seed. Where you have the seed and then you love it and then you soften it with that water, and and it just really made a lot of sense. And
okay.
My dog is having this interesting geriatric mental block about going in and out the door 70 times. There we go, about ready to close the door and latch it. There we go. And now she's started a whole new thing, which is she goes to the wrong side of the door. So as I open the door, she's behind it instead of going around it and doesn't understand why she's not getting out the door. It's like, oh, dear. Yeah. Awareness is a bitch. Definitely like the idea of seeing that creative pink. Of course, my first color is pink for creativity and work. And I like the idea of viewing that as faith, because I realize that I do, you know, put my faith in creativity. That's where my faith lives, is really in that creative spirit, and creative in terms of everything, creative in terms of different perspective for different people. You know, just like reading the intent is different for everybody and different every time we do it. You know, that's creativity at work and allowing you to see things from so many different perspectives, and then recognizing that, you know, it's all in the perception, which is really very, very cool. And then the intuition and service, you know, in terms of, well, that's love for me. That, and it really is. That is how I practice love is through intuitive service to truth. And So it's like it makes more sense to me the way you described it. So my colors make more sense to me. I'm, you know, like Kathy says, like wearing a comfortable pair of shoes, you know, it fits.
Yeah.
And honor, you know, it's really, yeah, if I can soften my view, I'm always going to do it by honoring the truth, because that's really honor and integrity. They just make me feel so comfortable in whatever it is I'm doing. It's like that's if I'm working with integrity and honor and wisdom, knowing the truth, then wow, you know, that's really important to me. So it's honoring that process. And again, honoring the process is all about really, you know, honoring all that creative uniqueness going on in the world, not saying that, I had an experience today I was thinking about, gone. If it comes back, I'll share it. But you know, it's like whatever. But that's really, you know, not to judge other people just because they're different, and not to judge my thoughts harshly. I love the calm. For today, the calm meditation today, which was self-compassion towards yourself first, and how that's where it starts, so that you can actually show compassion towards others. And, you know, it's like recognizing that it's actually a good thing that there are so many different points of view out there, because that's what gives you, like you said, Del, it's, you know, you can come at it from you can look at it from a different point of view of a different color, 12 different points of view, you know, and if you want to mix and match them and go opposite, you can really start multiplying geometrically if you want. So there are just so many different ways to look at things. And rather than getting, and this is very, very recent, you know, rather than getting myself in a stew about how many different points of view there are, I actually find that comforting.
Yeah. Well, that's a big change for you.
Oh, yeah. Not saying I enjoy trying to tackle them all at once, but I'm realizing, you know, the question was really funny. I look at the questions and say, who am I? Am I happy? And I say, well, I'm a hell of a lot happier than I was 2 weeks ago. before I first realized that, you know, I am Beaver Clan, and two, you know, the next day accepted it. And actually, once I accepted it, I actually embraced it. And it was like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, this is actually really cool. I actually kind of like who I am. And, yeah, I know, Becca, you can slap me when you see me at the gathering. I don't care.
Yeah,
but, you know, it's like just one of the back of the head slaps, you know, give me a Gibbs head slap. But then just looking at the wheel tonight, just looking at my colors, it's like, wow, okay, I'm actually beginning to understand this
and like it.
Yeah, well, I've always liked the wheels and the colors. I've always been fascinated. Well, I'm liking my colors.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
You're going,
yeah.
Oh. I like that. Yeah.
Exactly. And not just trying to figure it out so, you know, and saying, no, I can't possibly be that, or make it better, or make it this, or make it that, you know. It's like I'm actually beginning to understand. I'm actually beginning to comprehend the actual pattern, you know, of all of this, which is very, very neat. Baby steps.
Yeah, baby steps, except for, in my view of the whole thing is that you've always known, and then now you're just taking stuff away. So I don't know if that's baby steps towards something or chipping away. I guess it goes either way. But I know that the idea of liking who you are, which I think is such a big deal. I mean, it's such a big deal to say I love that concept that you have to love that the second color is love.
Yeah.
In the season of learning, and if you don't get that you love the way these come out, then you won't be happy. I think it's just, it's a big deal.
Yeah,
I just saw a video, and I'll send it out on after the follow-up on the Women's Council, because I have a couple things to send in the follow-up, but a woman talking about loving the body that she has. It's very interesting, so I'm going to send it out. But we're so used to saying, I don't love who I am in so many ways, that when it starts thinking in that you do for all the right reasons, then I think that's where all the power comes from. The true power comes from. Because if you do, then it's pretty hard. It's hard to change you off of who you are. It's hard for people to convince you you're something else. Does that make sense? Like if you love who you are, then mm-hmm. No one can say, well, you're really this, and then you follow it along.
Right. You have a less of a tendency to get distracted from your true path if you actually know who you are and like it.
Yeah, know who you are and like it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I always
You talked about that in the e-zine today. And, you know, it's like if you tell yourself something for long enough, you know, that's what you're going to think about. If you're going to focus on that the whole time, then that's what you're going to get. You know, and how many times do we actually do that? You know, we say, oh, I'm so tired. You know, and it's like, well, no wonder I'm so tired. I keep telling myself that.
Exactly. And you know, I was talking to Del about this earlier. It's like we go back to the basics. Like when you know that we know that Maxwell Maltz, you know, way back in the 80s and 90s, he said we have 50,000 negative thoughts a day about ourselves. And
right. That
was then. Think of it now. Think of the quantity of information, whether we're aware of it or not, that comes in and tells us we're human, flawed, mortal, in danger things. And I mean, it's constant. We watch, I mean, I love watching TV shows and reading books, so I'm not saying not to, but being aware of how much of that tells us this is how the world is and how little we counter that and say, and I am. In a simple thing like mine, I am healthy, I am happy, I am successful. Those three things. If we just said that to ourselves all the time, think what a difference our life would be. But we don't. We say all the other stuff. I didn't do well. I'm not happy. I wish it was things were different. I don't feel well. I mean, think of how often we say that to ourselves. So, and then we wonder. So,
but do you see that for me and for Michael is that blue color, is the blue intuition, is the water, is the cleansing color. It's honoring the truth.
Yeah.
And the more we relaxed, Michael and I, in this particular interpretation, the more we relax into, you know, honoring that truth. Of course, for me, first I have to know it. First I have to figure it out, you know. It's like, Yeah, well, I wanted to be Wolf Clan for the past 20 years, so I'm just going to be unhappy because I'm not in the Wolf Clan. how ridiculous.
This is where if she really felt like this, I'd have to go, like, smack her, but... Yeah, but if she really thought that, I would smack her, but she doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just a couple of head slaps, you know, at the gathering, you'd be fine, Becca.
Yeah.
But that grace of honoring the truth, you know, it's really, and how many times have I wailed about, you know, oh God, if I have to minister to one more person, you know, it's like, I love doing that, but I need to do it wisely.
And in my own way.
I have to, you know, stop. I have to stop thinking about service and intuition as bondage, guilt, as obligation. I have to think about it as something that is joyful and something about and a way to express myself, and express my love for, you know, those around me. That's how I do that. You know, when I do little things for people, they go, oh, I didn't expect you to do that. You know, and it's like a little smile. I'm realizing that's not ego for me. That's not my ego saying, oh, good, look at me, I did this, you know, because that's always what I thought it was. I thought it was, it either had to be sacrifice or it was all ego and had the wrong intention about it.
Yeah.
And I'm beginning to recognize that these things that I have hated about myself for so long are actually the best parts of me.
Exactly.
So I'm giving up the battle because it's not really a battle.
Exactly.
Can I tell you a quick funny story about that?
Yeah.
I think I may have told this before, but it's such a perfect example. My first selectman when I was selectman secretary started off as treasurer. I have talked about my elderly friend Phyllis. Well, she is the widow of the former first selectman with whom I served. I served as his selectman secretary while he was in office after I stopped being the treasurer. And it was a really great friendship. Early on, we'd get into some discussions about things. And I remember him coming up to my office and we got into a discussion about something and he'd say, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm saying, no, it's this and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, and then he's going, no. And I'm getting more and more and more upset as I go along. And I'm getting to the point where I'm going to start screaming in a minute. And all of a sudden I stop and I looked at him and I said, wait a minute. We're saying exactly the same thing. And he said, yes, we are. And I started to laugh because I had just been so busily rebelling against whatever it was he said because I didn't understand what he was saying. He was saying it in a somewhat different way than I was, and I didn't get it. I wasn't getting it. And so I was so busy negating it that I didn't even get that he and I were saying exactly the same thing. And
wow.
That's the kind of thing that when we fight so hard against it, we don't see that there really isn't any fight at all. It's we're all on the same side.
Yeah. I love that you had the ability to step back and see that though, Jess.
Well, he was kind of like that. He was a great teacher for me. But yes, I'm glad I can see it now. And I'm not even going to regret that it took me, you know, the first 60 years to see it. I'm just going to enjoy it from here on out.
Exactly, because wait a minute, I didn't know there was such a thing as time. Did you know there was such a thing as time? No.
Time is something that God, it's a gift that God gave us so that we have, I wrote it down. It's just a paraphrasing of something that time is God's gift to us to demonstrate our existence, because otherwise our human pea brain could not fathom existence. And I was trying to justify why I have my little insight timer set with its got a gong, a Tibetan bowl, a Tibetan singing bowl, and they're tapping it. So that's, I love that sound, and so I set it to 30 minutes. And I set it to go off every minute for, it's actually 29 minutes. And I can still only make it for 10 minutes. And then after that, I got to get up and I just 10 minutes is my limit. And that's what I wrote about it. It's like, why do I need a timer? And I was like, time is God's gift to us to demonstrate our existence, because that's the only way we can figure out how to see it with our human pea brain. So... that's what time is, Becca. It's just
representation. Okay.
It's all symbol. It's all symbol.
Exactly. It is all symbol. Kinship in all dimensions. That's what it is.
It is.
So what other things can we talk about? Do you guys have that all figured out? So do you have extra stuff for us today?
No, we could go to the next quadrant.
Well, you could explain the next quadrant. Quadrant, so that when we get to, we actually know what we're doing.
Excuse me. Well, you know, it's nice to have the beads. With the beads, you know, you can easily look at those first three beads and go, okay, that's the first quadrant. And then it's very easy to look at that and go at any time of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to kind of see how you're falling in line with yourself,
mm-hmm,
and who you are. And that when I look at my next three beads, you know, first, it gets my attention right off. I look at that and go, wow, those colors are interesting. You know, the blue, red, and purple.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting combination for the quadrant of adoption. You know.
And what questions go with that quadrant?
Well, it's not the questions. It's how do these fit in with that? And then you look at where they're at. They're on will, creativity, and magnetism.
Mm-hmm.
So you see how these line up with that and what they determine for those.
So there's no questions with this quadrant?
Well, the questions come up as you're, you know, how do you adopt to the environment? How do you fit in?
That's what it is?
Well, the questions come up for you personally as you're working with it. You know, these first three questions really just set the stage for everything. Because if you're not happy, it doesn't matter what you're doing out there. If you're not being who you are, see, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the essential questions. And then move on from that into other quadrants of how am I adopting? I mean, the questions are just inherent in the space that it is, you know, that time frame. And that time frame, mm-hmm, can be, again, your age, or it can be the moment. It can be that day. It can be a part of the day where you're adopting to something. You're in a situation where, oh, how am I adapting to this? What's going on? And you can look at your colors and see how it's going. You know, are you using your will? And I'd look at it and go, well, I have to use intuition there, because intuition is my color in the will section of how I line myself up with the source.
Okay.
See that?
So the first two questions were, who am I and am I happy?
Yes.
And now we're going to, how do I adapt that to the environment,
yeah,
and to my life?
Yes.
Does that make sense to everybody?
It's sort of like how with being happy with myself then, of who I am, then how do I interact with my environment?
With my life and with my job, mm-hmm, and with the other people and
right,
with that. And the next three colors help us figure that out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know, because it's got it's got to do with a lot of different things. There's principles, you know, you have your own principles that you understand, you know, again, based on those first three colors and the first three things that go on there. You have principles of, you know, of knowing who you are, and then society has principles. And when you start to experience that is in that age of adoption, you know, there's mm-hmm. things you inherently feel and think about, but society might say, no, this is what you're going to do. And so those clash, and they can cause problems, and you have to go back to your first three colors continuously and go, am I happy? Who am I? Because society can start dictating who you are. We know that far too well. You know, because you the systems where they have to put people in places so that they can control them and make things work easily for a society. And sometimes that just doesn't work well with who you really are.
Well, you know, I knew I was thinking back to this earlier in this call, and I forgot to say this, that I think a lot about, everybody knows that I think Myers-Briggs, the test, is one of those key who am I awarenesses, because if you're aware of your preference, then then you can make choices. And if someone said to me, do this, and I knew my preference was something else, I know that I can't do it for long, or I'm going to have to make it up my own way. And I've used this example more than one time, that when I decided to go back into financial planning, the thing that just really freaked me out was that I would have to go to people's offices and houses. So I said, okay, well, by then I knew my Myers-Briggs, and I said, I could do this if they come to me. So I set my whole business up that everybody came to me. And it changed the whole, for me, it was like this completely different experience of, it was also a better place to work, but that idea that I didn't have to go out and they came to me changed everything for me. So that choice of preference, to me, fits really well into these colors.
Yeah.
That if you take that preference idea for each one of us and say, this is who I am and I'm happy about it, and add in your clan, and add in all the other things that we've done, you know, add in the obliger, questioner, add all those in and be happy about it, then you have a strength in it. And all of us have, I think it's interesting that the way the basic wheel flows is starts in faith and then goes to love. So if you don't have faith and love, I don't think you have anything. So you have to have faith that who you are is the, what you are is the choice, not only you made, but it's the expression of who you are. It's the essence of God expressing itself as you. And then you have to love it. And if you don't do that, nothing else is going to flow. Yeah. So all of the things that we know about ourselves, like Jeff being the Beaver Clan and, you know, all that stuff has to all flow into that idea that faith that this was the right expression of myself, and I love it in the world, and this is how I can be best expressing, be of service, because that's actually why are we here. If we're not all here to be of service in some way, we're supposed to be expressing ourselves, so be like a flower that never bloomed, which is a sad thing. So anyway, I was thinking about that because whenever I get a new coaching client, I give them the Myers-Briggs, and I think that's one of, because it'd be a little hard to get them to do the color thing for most people. Oh, we're going to do the Seneca colors. So getting them to the Myers-Briggs is like way out there for some of them already.
Well,
so.
it would take, you know, and in 10 years, then we'll have gotten halfway through the color wheel for you, so then we'll know a little bit more about you.
Exactly. So, yeah. I've been coaching someone for, I think it's this, her fifth year, and I'm getting her to do the colors.
Yep.
Cause
it's only the... Yeah,
yeah
it, It's only the accepting woo-woo ones that will do the colors without questioning it and then really get to it, you know, because they're not afraid.
Yeah.
They see it as something different than it is, and then by the time you start getting into it, then they really start getting into it. But they have to have some connection to it to begin with. So get the woo-woo ones first, you know, and then build from there. Yeah,
but you see how that Myers-Briggs does fit, because I look at Del's colors, and if you put your Myers-Briggs in there and then you say, this is who I am and I'm happy about it, it'll kind of fit.
It does. It really does. I've often thought about getting the overhead projector, the transparent slides, and just laying them one over the other, over the other. Wouldn't that be such a cool thing?
There's so many. Oh, yeah, that would be
just
really
layer
cool.
It over and over and over and over and just see how everything just sort of falls. It's also symbolic and also synchronistic. It really is. Because it's all one.
It's not, yeah, and it makes, then you know, people say there's no two people. Like, that's right, because there's all these essences.
Right. It's all, how many gazillion combinations can you get?
Yeah. Oh, but then I heard this other, it was probably on a podcast, that 99.5% of our DNA is exactly the same. It's only 0.5% that makes us different. So 99.5% of all of us is the
that
same.
That is so cool.
Isn't that amazing?
So when we
get our DNA done, we're only looking at 0.5% of it that makes us the unique person that we are. So when we say we're all one, yeah.
Boy, is that true?
There's another symbol of that. It's just fantastic. And then knowing that 0.5% is such a joy, you know, like, oh, what am I? What is my flower? What is my expression? And how joyful that is, instead of, oh, God, why did I get this part? Otherwise, you won't be happy, and that was the point, right?
Yeah.
All right, so the next...
I have a question before we go, just for a sec. I'm ENFP, and that's intuitive. Extrovert, intuitive, feeling, and what's P? I've forgotten P.
It's perceiver, but it's really, I think of it as spontaneous, likes open things, Delta P. So... Jed and I are both J's, so we both love lists. We have to convince you and Del that there's value in lists, and you might not do them the way
you really do.
Yeah, we do.
I'm a list maker now.
Yeah, and I have to use Kathy as an example, because Kathy is the queen of list making now, and she's a P.
Yeah.
So you guys have found a way to make it joyful for you. So it might not be exactly how now Jed and I do it, but you found that. So you found it useful for another piece of who you are.
Yeah.
And so we can all make lists.
Really,
we can all not have lists.
And there again, it's all in the perception. It's all in just looking at it in a different way.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love the idea of being able to look at something from 12 different directions when you talk about the pathway of the color wheels. It's like this is my new, I may not be able to do tax returns for the rest of the week because I'll be so excited about this.
Yeah, you could do a color a day and stand in that perception every day and go, what does the day look like if I'm standing in this color? That's a great idea.
It's kind of what I do, because I do the sum of the days every day, you know, but I use it mostly for my gift and ability wheel. I use it for gifts and abilities. But just looking at it as, you know, just what's the color for today? I just think that's so cool. And I I could do that too, but it's just for me, there's a fascination about the matching up the, you know, Del and me with the numbers. We like the number stuff, so I like the number stuff. But
I'm just gonna pick it.
You can, well, you can do that.
Get on the wheel and go, today I'm blue. And
there you go.
Happens. So,
and you and I fully trust that you'll make up a bunch of colors, too, as you go.
Yeah, exactly. We can make colors up as we go.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
All right, well, let's look at 12 different, stand on 12 different colors during the next 2 weeks, and we'll do the next. Age and the next three colors.
Yeah. That's so cool. And if you happen to find the template that shows the, you know, the four directions above the seven different animals, I can see it in my mind's eye, but that's the only place I can find it at this point.
Okay.
I don't know which book it's in.
Yeah.
All right. Well, one of us, it'll pop into one of our heads, and then we'll let you know.
So, okay.
Thank you, Miss Bieber.
Yes.
Wonderful call. Missed you, Kathy.
Missed you, Kathy.
For sure.
All right. Just Kathy's doing her service, though. She's out there.
Oh,
yeah. So, all right. Thank you, everybody.
Okay.
Good night.
Thank you both.
Good night.
I'll see you.
Good night.
Night.